is kind of an exciting day. It's different. Here we have our fun kids Sunday, fun game Sunday happening. Our Village Kids. There are so many volunteers over there, so many children, and we are so blessed to have the children's ministry that we do and the team that we do. So I hope that when you go out today, you'll say thank you to them. There are so many. I don't know if you saw all those adults over there sacrificing their time, which is why we're a little light in here, which is totally fine. Also at the same time, we have welcomed back our Czech Republic team. We sent a missions team out, and they went for a little over 2 weeks. You guys can go ahead and come on up. We sent 6 people from our church over, and what's really neat, our church is not old, okay? Yes, come along. Oh yeah, all 3 of you, come on this side. What's really neat is our church is about 18 months old, so we're like really new and trying to figure out, you know, what does it look like to be a church, and we've already had the opportunity to send 2 international teams, one to Cambodia in August and now one to the Czech Republic, and so they just did some amazing work, and so I wanted to bring them up this Sunday and ask them a few questions so you can kind of get to know what was that about, what's kind of happening, what's God doing overseas through us. It's pretty neat that a church in the literal middle of nowhere, can have impact in Europe or Cambodia or even right here in our community or even outside. So we always want to highlight how God is moving. So I just have some questions for you. One, will you introduce yourselves?
I am Ashley.
And what was your role on the team?
I was the leader.
The leader.
The leader.
Okay. All right. Your name?
I'm Barbara, and I was a follower.
Barbara, you were a leader.
I love it.
Just kidding. My name is Jonathan, and I was with these 2 and awesome. Many more.
Yes, 3 others, and then they met up with a team from California as well, so they kind of doubled in size when they got there. Awesome. Couple questions. Just tell us a little bit about the Czech Republic. Where is it? Tell us about it as a country. Like, what's it about? Here, you guys, I'm going to scoot over. You guys can come.
Well, I had to Google where it was. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, where is this place?
On the way, you're like, where are we going?
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. Like, where are we going? And it's bordered, essentially, by Germany, Slovakia, because it used to be Czechoslovakia, and Austria. So it's just, bam, in the middle of Europe. And what were we doing there?
Well, just tell us about the country first.
Oh, the country. It is dark.
What does that mean?
I got there. It was dark when we got there, but it was just, you could feel, it was just dark. Beautiful in the sense of like old world buildings, old century buildings. And I mean, gosh, things from 12th, 13th century, absolutely beautiful, but it was dark. It was a gloomy place.
Mm-hmm. And to add a little bit to that, they're rich in religious culture, yet they are an atheist nation or an atheist country. They don't, and meaning atheist, it's very different from, I think, what we would say atheist in America is. I think a lot of it, in my experience, is just rebellion because there is religion here and you get exposed to things and they don't really get exposed to that. They see Jesus as we see, for instance, Santa Claus or Greek mythology. It's a myth. Baby Jesus actually brings them Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. And so they find out later, like we find out Santa is not real. Mm-hmm. So that's what he means when it's very dark. It's not, there is no foundation of God really whatsoever. It's just sometimes ritualistic and then sort of myth in this sense.
Awesome. Well, not awesome. Good job sharing.
Awesome.
Yes. So tell us about the missionaries that you served with and a little bit about their ministry.
So we served with Tomáš and Misha, which you can say Tomas, but I don't think we've seen it
yet. Oh, yeah, we have some pictures back here.
And they're amazing. Tomáš came to the United States when he was 9. He came with, his dad had come, and he came with his dad because of all the communism that was going on. And then he met his wife, Misha, in the Czech Republic, and then they basically decided that he was a youth leader in Sacramento, California, and he decided that the youth in the Czech need Jesus. And so that's basically what he did. He went to go start youth ministry in the Czech.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about some of the ministry highlights that you did, that you participated in.
We went to three different schools that they have there. A lot of the children actually live at the schools, and you could not compare them to the children here. They wanted to sit down with you. They wanted to talk. They wanted to listen, and they just had so many questions. And it was really hard trying to get away from them because they just wanted to keep listening and listening. And their big thing was they wanted to know how we celebrated our holidays. And their other big thing was they wanted to know all about your pets.
Your pets.
They want to see pets. They love pets, yeah. You'd see people walking pets everywhere. But it was funny because it seemed like most of the girls went to the guys to talk and the guys to the girls. And it was three different schools that they actually can pick to go to. One was agriculture, another was a hotel school, and then a gymnasium, which that one actually teaches them how to prepare themselves for college. Mm-hmm. And they just were just sitting at the edge of their seats with questions and wanting to know. And then the ones that did believe, they would ask questions as well. And it was mm-hmm. amazing.
Very cool. So how did you see God move when you were there? Like, what is he doing over there?
It's amazing. So we get to go to these high schools, and then we invite them to Conversation Club, which is immediately after school, and you're talking to them in English, and they're just like, you know, maybe there's some language barrier, but for the most part, they're mm-hmm. getting it. And that's all we're there for. And then we do a youth hangout later in the week when we invite them, and it's much like youth group here, where we play games and have fun, and do some just dance. It was great. And then
can you do that again? That would be good. Yeah.
and then after that, if they want to go a little bit deeper and maybe have some more questions, you know, like what's this about? Why are you guys here? What are you here for? They're invited to Q&A club, and that's really it's a circle. It's just a circle, and the kids want to learn. Right, and they're asking questions. We're asking questions, giving answers. What do you think? No answer's a bad answer. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but you know we're going to talk about it. And then from there, you can go to. You can be invited to church on Sunday, and it's just you see it full circle. Mm-hmm. It's hard to explain to somebody, right? Like why you're there, what you're doing, but then you see it full circle, and it just clicks. It clicks in your mind. So
yeah, very cool. Anyone else, how you saw God move?
I would say that, I went 4 years ago when Tomasz really started working with the youth, and he wouldn't allow us to go to Q&A, actually, because it is all in Czech, and he didn't want to have to translate. And so throughout these years, he's actually allowed us people to go in and do it. So Pastor Michael, who we went with, and then a couple other Americans can go. And it was amazing. Jonathan was with me, and that's where I really saw God move, because not only do these kids like you because you're the cool American, which is really funny to me, because I'm like, you guys are this like so rich in culture. I'm like, I'd rather live here. They're so independent. They jump on trains and like go on their holiday by themselves to like Germany, Spain, like their parents aren't with them half the time. Like they're just so independent. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'd rather live where you live. Yeah. But Tomasz really asks the hard culture questions. Like the week before, just to give you an example, the girl was sitting next to me and they were talking, and I said, oh, what'd you guys talk about last week? And she was like, abortion. Like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, what'd you think about that? And she was like, I don't really know. I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, like, mm-hmm. whatever. And this time we talked about basically forgiveness. And they have a hard time mm-hmm. sort of grasping that. And so I had told a story, a true story that I had heard. And it really started I just felt the Holy Spirit move in that, and it really started an amazing conversation where you could just see the wheels in their brain, like, how can you forgive someone? It was about a son who was murdered, and then the mom forgave the person who murdered him, but then actually, when he got out, adopted him. And gave, I mean, like, it's a crazy whirlwind of a story. And they just were like, how can you even forgive someone like that? And so we talked, like, in depth of, like, what that looks like. And they may not have believed, and some of them may have, but at least they know, like, mm-hmm. what forgiveness in the eyes of Christ really looks like. And so it was, that's where I saw a lot of the movement when we were there.
Yeah, I've never been, but I know that in a country like that that doesn't have a foundation of God in it, it takes a long time for someone to even say, like, okay, I actually think I want to explore believing in Jesus and what that could look like for my life as my Savior. And so what's really neat about Tomash and Misha is their ministry. They have led people to Christ fast, very quickly through this ministry. And so they've had seen amazing fruit there and amazing transformation in their little part of the world. Question, how did this change you as a person? How did God move in you personally?
Barbara. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
Putting me on the spot here. It really made me rethink how I used to think of just when I got there, not really knowing how it would affect me. Mm-hmm. And being the oldest one on the team, I just, the way the kids were just connecting with me, and it just made me feel so good. And I could feel God was there because they were just at awe. It was like they were little sponges, mm-hmm. and it just warmed me so much because mm-hmm. literally, if I was to sit with a group of kids here, they would look at me and walk away. And it was just, because seeing the children versus the adults there, you didn't see any adults smile at all. They always looked angry and kind of mm-hmm. mean. And the kids were just, they were opened up, and they were just, you could see them smiling more, and you could feel them getting a little bit in there, and it just kind of overwhelmed me. Mm-hmm. A few times I did start crying, but it's like, this guy here had to save me a few times. But Jonathan really was my savior there. Here.
And that's it.
In my life, like, I've shared this many times here with many of the leadership here, and I'm going through this, like, change in my life where it's like, let go and mm-hmm. let God. Mm-hmm. And that was hard. It was not easy. But, you know, like, I didn't know the travel details of the trip, right? I didn't know things like that, and I'm a control freak. And so, like, things like that, like, I just had to let go. Let go. I didn't know what we were doing. Like, we got in late Sunday night, up early Monday morning to go to school and talk all day long, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to talk about, but, and it would just come, right? Like, it would just, like, okay, it's a new class, it's a new group of teens, I just need to let go. I need to stop, like, being in my head and letting the enemy attack what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And so that was, it's hard, and it wasn't easy, and it's still an ongoing thing in my life, but that really, I think, was resounding mm-hmm. when I left, so.
Awesome.
I just want you to know, too, like, our whole team, at one point, we were asked to raise our hands if we're control freaks. There was 10 of us, and every single one of us raised our hand.
All of you were, yeah.
Yes, this trip calls the craziest people, because we could be outgoing and fun, but, I mean, when he says we're talking all day long, like, just experience, like, having to be on in front of people all day long. Like, you're not stopping until you hit your pillow. So it is really, it's not physically exhausting, but it's very mentally exhausting. Mm-hmm. I would say for myself, being the leader, there was a lot of things that, you know, got brought up. Leaders aren't perfect by any means. So it was nice to see, like, where there was areas that I still had to work on, like my control issues or, mm-hmm. you know, certain things that I needed to let go of and just let God take control. Yeah. So it was really great in that aspect to see.
That's good. Last question. What would you say to someone who wants to go on a missions trip but gets bogged down by the details of it?
Well, don't be a control freak. I would say really, like, just like Jonathan said, let go. I will tell you that I lost my job during this whole process. I had taken on a job that they had said it was going to be fine when I go, and then I took the job thinking, and they said no, and so I had to choose. And I made a commitment, my yeses are my yeses, and my noes are my noes. And so I ultimately lost my job to go on the missions trip. And God took care of us. Like, God, you know, just want you to be encouraged by that. Like, God really does take care of you when you put your whole life in his hands and yep. you don't worry, and that's hard. Like, I still worry, and there's still times, but I make the choice to say, like, nope, not today. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to. So I would say that. And then I would also say, like, just go. Like, just take that leap of faith. Just step forward. Even if you have just, like, an inclination of a desire to go anywhere, you're going to hear, you're hearing from us, you're going to hear from missionaries from India. I mean, it was really fun. It's probably one of the best ones because
Europe.
But, you know, but it is, it's such an amazing trip for God. Like, I could tell you 1,000 ways. Carl was the youngest one there, and I can tell you 1,000 ways that his life has changed for Christ, and I'm so proud of him. I could just talk about him forever. And if you don't feel like that's bad. I think right. that's a one thing, too. Like, don't feel like if you don't have any desire to go overseas, like, you're not a bad person. Do it here. Like, that was one thing I was really brought to life. Sorry, I'm preaching right now.
Go, girl.
But it's happening. The one thing that was brought to light to me was that we talk about American teenagers are so different because they're raised different. They grow up differently. But they're the next generation of disciples, and they're going to disciple our children, and then the children, I mean, they're disciples after disciples, and they need as much attention as the kids overseas, and they might not be the most willing or wanting, but the desire is there. We're all built with it. So don't give up on them. I would say get them, just show them love and get them here. And so.
Awesome. Barbara, what would you say to someone that...
No matter how old you are, go. I mean, there was a few times that I was struggling because we walked so much. I just had to keep telling everybody, throw me a rope, pull me up. But Jonathan was there to pick me up.
Piggyback?
And pretty much, yeah. But it changed me so much that it was just incredible. And knowing that I changed a few people's lives was so heartwarming, and I'm definitely going back.
Amen.
I would say just go. We have, me and my wife both went, and we have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old, and left them. Left them here, I know, call me a bad parent, whatever you want, but we went. Right? We just had this, like, okay, maybe we should go, maybe we shouldn't, and we wrestled with it for a little bit, and then we're like, all right, we're going to do this. And, you know, we did it, and it was so much fun. It was funny, I was in the car yesterday, and I'm like, gosh, I haven't seen my team in a long time. Like, you know, after spending 17 days in close quarters and everything like that, and it was hard to, it was great to be back. But it was hard to not have, you know, my team with me. And and I mean, that changes, I think, somebody. That changes who you are and really creates a bond between everyone. So
right. Can you guys, we're just so proud of them. Can we just say thank you? Thank you, guys. You know, here at Village Church, our tagline is that we are, anyone know?
Storytellers.
Someone yawned it out. We say we are storytellers. Everyone say storytellers. Thank you. A little better there. And what that's fine. Hey, at least you knew. I'm proud. And what that means is we believe that Jesus offers a story of hope He offers a story of healing. He offers a story of forgiveness. He offers a story of new life. The Bible says you're a new creation. I mean, he offers us salvation. We get saved from our own shame and sin and what people have done to us and addiction and brokenness in our own lives. And so we believe that the world, though, that does not know Jesus is living a story that is hopeless, that doesn't have any of that built in. There's no, healthy community. There's no forgiveness. I mean, that's just such a radical idea, right? Cody and I met with a guy this week, and he said he doesn't know Jesus. He knew Jesus at the end of our conversation, which is amazing. But during it, he said, you know, I'm so lost. I don't know what to do. I feel so broken. I'm so depressed. It's like I'm in my 30s and my life is just caving in on me, and I'm realizing all the mistakes I've made and all the things that have happened. I don't know what to do. And so in that moment, right, that's the story of hopelessness. But in that moment, we can say, well, hang on a second. There is somebody. There is someone that offers you hope and forgiveness and healing. And if do you want to know more about that? And he was like, absolutely. Of course, who wouldn't, right, when you're in that place? And so we say that we exist here at Village Church to share our stories about Jesus so that other people can have a story with him, right? That's why we're storytellers. We say we know the hope and the healing and the forgiveness and the amazing life that we have in Christ, and we want to share that with the world so that they can have that as well. And so we push a lot here at our church. You need to do that with your people, your neighbors. We hope that you will host a pumpkin carving and get to know your neighbors so that a conversation might come up where they might share, I'm hopeless in my life. These are the hurts I'm facing. And you have an answer for that, right? And so we talk a lot about that, your coworkers, your friends, your personal mission field. But also the Bible says that there is something also about going out farther. It's not just, it is you right here, and we hone in on that so much. That's everything we are at Village Church, is right here, your friends, your family, your neighbors. But it's also sending out, even as far as overseas, and even, you know, I don't know, even farther than that, but whatever, like across the world. And so there's a couple verses I just want to highlight for you. In Luke 10, it says this about Jesus. After this, Jesus appointed 72 others, and he sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. And what he's doing there is, this is the first kind of like, okay, you go on. You're going to go take that story out, right? And I love how it says here, the harvest is plentiful. What that means is that there are people that are open to hearing this. I know that's hard for us to imagine sometimes in our American culture, because in the media and whatever, it kind of seems like, you know, the world hates the church or something. But really what I found sitting on my couch this week with a guy that's telling me I have no hope is that he was more than, the harvest was plentiful in that conversation. And it's so, that is plentiful also overseas. And so Jesus sends him out and he says, but the workers are few. There's few people that are willing to go reap that harvest because it's sacrifice. It takes work. And so he sends them out. And then it says in Mark 16, it says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Share that story to all creation. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. There's this go aspect, right? This sending out aspect. And so as Village Church, we're exploring, what does that look like? And, you know, we're a new church trying to figure out what does it mean to be the church? And so we are in a series right now, we're 4 weeks, 5 weeks in, to exploring what does that mean? What does it actually mean to be the church as the Bible explains it? And we believe that this go aspect, whether it's local or overseas, is so vital to his mission.
Before we finish and go into our worship time, we have a connection card that I failed to mention at the beginning. And a lot of you, I know there's some new faces in here today, and you've heard a lot about hope. You've heard a lot about who Jesus is and what he can do for you. And Ashley and I, even this week, just a couple days ago, we got to bring someone into the beginning of our relationship with Jesus this week. And they were in that same place, just hearing about this hope, knowing that they're facing brokenness in their lives. And if that's you, if any of that has resonated with you today, I would just ask that you be bold and make a decision to begin a relationship. It doesn't have to all make sense right now. It's okay that all the pieces don't click. That'll come. But if you know you're at the end of yourself, if you know that you need something more in your life, let me tell you, Jesus is that thing. Jesus is the only hope. So many of us in here can attest to that, can say that Jesus has done a miraculous work in me, and I am so different than who I used to be, and I'm so thankful for him. If that's you, say amen. Amen. So I want to give you an opportunity. Would you just bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you're hearing this message of hope, hope changing lives in Czechoslovakia, into Czech Republic, hope changing lives in India, the hope that's offered to you here in Red Rock. If you need that hope in your life, if you're recognizing that today is a day that I want to be done with who I've been and all the junk that's been weighing me down, and I want to hand that over to somebody, let me tell you first that that person is Jesus. And if you want to begin a relationship with him, would you raise your hand? Amen. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Jesus, for those of us who said we wanted to begin a relationship with you, I pray that we would all open our hearts and maybe even confess once again, even if we've said this prayer before, to just say this moment of commitment to you and give our lives over to you and say, I'm done. I'm done trying on my own. I'm finished trying to do all these things on my own and knowing that I'm just going to fail again and again. I'm tired of the failure. I'm tired of the brokenness. I'm tired of not having hope. So Jesus, right now, we reach our hands out to you. We grasp your hand and we say, we give everything to you, and we hold on to you for our hope, for restoration, for healing in our lives. Thank you so much for your willingness. Thank you for your mercy, and that you are our hope. We love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So we have this connection card. If you said that prayer today, please mark the box on the connection card that says, I made a decision today to give my life to Christ. Or if you made a decision today to recommit your life to Christ, please mark that box. We want to talk to you. We want to talk to you about what just happened, the amazing thing that just happened, and the journey that you just started, and the amazing work that God wants to continue to do in you, and all that Jesus has for you. And so would you make that decision right now to mark that on your connection card? Also, if you just want to talk to maybe Ashley or I or somebody, maybe you weren't ready for that decision today, but if you just want to talk to one of us about what else that looks like, would you also mark that box? And we'd love to get together with you. Would you stand with us, and we're going to continue to worship.